Their food is a little different. I went to the Walmart and bought them some Tony Sachers and some Slap Your Mama and brought it to here. This works for us, you know. Great to be home. Today we finish our book of 1 John. We've been preaching a sermon series through 1 John, and today we get to chapter 5, the latter part of chapter 5, and it talks about blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That's the title of the message today. It's really the security of a believer. As followers of Christ, we have security that our salvation is rest in Christ and not in us. Listen, we'll mess it all up. There are too many people thinking that they have to be such good people and have to behave themselves and have to do all the right things and work so hard to get to heaven. Well, that's not salvation based on Christ. That's salvation based on you. And that's impossible. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot work hard enough. We can't be good enough. There's nothing that we can ever do in all of our life in our own means, our own energy, to earn heaven. It's all in Christ. But you know what? It's like community coffee. It says satisfaction guaranteed. Listen, when we claim what Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross as our own, the Holy Spirit has touched us. And by faith and repentance, we accept Him as our Savior. We have security. We have guarantee in our life. We have a guarantee, not based on our merits, but based on what Christ has already done for us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me if you would. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 through 13. 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. R.C. Sproul said this way, said, we are secure, not because we hold tightly to Jesus, but because He holds tightly to us. Beginning in verse 9, it says, we accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son, and whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony of God that God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and in this life is in His Son. This life is in His Son. And whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13, John writes, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You. Lord, we thank You that You have not left us as orphans. Lord, that You have called us into Your kingdom. And Lord, that You work in our lives. And Father, You have changed us by Your grace and by Your mercy. And Father, I pray today that You would help us, Lord, just to understand deeper what You've done for us in Your kingdom through Jesus Christ, that we are now Your children, and God, that our security, our salvation is secure in You. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Let me dim my lights here. Blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. There are three assurances I want to share with you this morning that we can find from this passage of Scripture to help us better understand and better grasp this security that we have as saints of God, that our security of our salvation is not based on anything that we do or can do, but it's all based on what Christ has already done for us. The first security and assurance is this, is that God's testimony of Himself. We have security in our salvation because of God's testimony of Himself. See, Christians have certainty of eternal life in heaven because of the character of God. Because of God, not because of us, Verse 9 says, we accept man's testimony, John writes. Says, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God. You see, we trust that the God of the universe, the creator of all things, seen and unseen, is true to his word. He has been here from all creation, before creation, and he is the author and finisher of our faith. We see in Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, says, I am Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, beginning and the end. God is always there. God's testimony of himself is defined in his very being. Listen, we base our salvation on God, in his character, his being, not on us. And too often people want to base their salvation on themselves. And we cannot do that, because if we could be saved in and of ourselves, then we didn't need Jesus. We didn't need God's plan, we had our own. God always was and always will be. Heaven and earth will pass away as we know them, but God remains the same. God says in Malachi 3:6, he says, I, the Lord, do not change. We can rest assured in our salvation in an unchanging God. When he sends Christ to be our Savior, he had it all figured out for us. There are too many church people trying to figure it out. There are too many people in the world trying to figure it out, how to receive eternal life, and God already made the plan for us. Before time began, before creation, God is. He spoke and his creation formed into existence. God did not change and cannot change. For God to change would be to equate God to making a mistake, and that's impossible. See, God's word has not changed or erred concerning Christ Jesus, his Son. See, God's plan is that God's character is perfect and his Son is perfect. We see in verse 9, it says, God's testimony is greater, which he has given about his Son. I want us to begin to see the purity of God's plan for our salvation. Too often, if we're just looking at ourselves, we see a lot of impurity. We say, you know what, boy, heaven must be a push, so I have to do a lot of work. I have to do a lot of good things and good deeds to get there. And God's plan's already made the way in his perfection through his Son. God, who is unchanging, testifies of his own eternal existence. And he also testifies the eternal existence of Jesus, his Son. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Can you see the union between God and his Son? So let's be clear. Our security as a believer is based on God's eternal existence, his character. He is Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. He does not change. He doesn't change his mind about us either. Can we grasp that? That God doesn't change his mind about us. We began our walk with Christ maybe a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 30 years ago, 50 years ago. We're walking Christ. Listen, as Christians, we're not perfect. We're going to slip and slide. We're going to backslide from time to time. There are things we just don't get it right. God doesn't change his mind about us. He's unchanging. His plan is secure. Our salvation is in his Son. That brings security. First assurance that a believer has is that God is eternal and that his Son, they are one. And this permanently structures eternal life in him for all believers. See, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, God has given us eternal life. Our salvation, our security is based on the character of God, not on our character. Eternal life does not come from anything that we work for. It's a free extension of God's consuming love to us. God testifies that this life is in his Son. Our foundation of assurance as believers is in Christ Jesus. He is unchanging. He's our eternal security. He is the one who brings it to us. And we freely accept it. We can't. The only way that we can persevere through this life, and that's what it is perseverance of the saints, is that when we accept Christ Jesus, God takes us in his arms, and now we're his child. And we persevere to the very end. Through thick and thin, through all the ups and downs, we go all the way to the end with God. Do we falter here? Do we slip? Do we get dirty here and there? Yeah. But God still claims us as his child. Listen, your child can be pretty disrespectful. They can go out and get themselves in a lot of trouble. They can do a whole lot of things, and they'll have to deal with those consequences. But they're still your child. They're still your child. You can't do anything about it. And maybe sometimes they would like to do something about it, but they can't. That's still your child. Alan Chambers said it this way. He says, I know Christ, and that is secure. And I think that is something that is actually, that it actually helps believers pursue his holiness when they don't have to live in the fear or that life of condemnation that under wondering whether God's going to yank his relationship from them. I'm just so glad that I don't have to live my life. I don't have to get up today or tomorrow wondering whether I'm saved or not. Why? Because my salvation is based on God's character, not mine. I can now pursue the life of holiness. I can now pursue God. I can now tell my friends about Christ. Why? Not because I'm basing it on me, because I'm basing it on him. Listen, it takes a load off of us Christians that we're not working so hard to get to heaven. We're just living the life that God has given us as his child. Living that life. And day by day, year by year that goes by, we grow and we look more like him. So our first assurance is based on the character of God. First assurance of our salvation. The second assurance of eternal life is that Jesus holds us by his hand. That Jesus holds us by his hand. We see as born-again believers, we place our souls in Jesus' hand, and he's washed of all of our sins away, thus giving us a new life. Verse 12 tells us, he who has the Son has life. He who has the Son, Jesus Christ, has life. As a disciple of Christ, we're heirs to the kingdom of God. Listen, I may not have a whole lot in this world, and you may not either, but as a child of God, you have inherited the kingdom of God, where the golden streets are there for your walking on, for the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper. Listen, all the fine jewels that are there in that eternal kingdom, they're yours. You may live in a shack in this life, but you have a mansion waiting for you. The Holy Spirit touched our spirits, regenerated our souls, made us alive. We responded to Jesus in faith and repentance, and he plunged us by faith into the grace of God in Christ. And listen, we too can sing that old hymn. I remember growing up hearing that song, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You see, it's not just a song that's out there on the tip of our tongues. It's something we embrace. We are heirs to the kingdom of God. Do you know Jesus this morning as your personal Lord and Savior? See, it's a yes or no question. Either yes, I know Jesus as my Savior, or I'm thinking about it, or really I don't want anything to do with this Jesus stuff. It's a yes or no. Do you know Jesus or not? That's the only salvation that we have. You know, it breaks my heart to think that good folks, kind people, come in and out of our church doors. Sunday in and Sunday in, out, Wednesday night, Friday night. People come into our church doors, shake hands with us, and love us. Listen, they'll sing the songs with us. Those old hymns are the songs of praise. They'll hear messages, invitation after invitation goes by, and they'll walk out lost without Jesus. And if today would be their last day, many would walk out, and their physical eyes would close, and their spiritual eyes would open, and they would be in the torments of their sin, paying the consequences because they have said no to Jesus. They've done religion. They've done the Baptist thing. They walked in the doors. They shook everybody's hand. They sang some songs. They listened to a sermon. They went home. Listen, you can do the Baptist thing all your life and go to hell. I just want to tell you that. And I'll throw it out there. You can do the Pentecostal thing all your life. You can do the Catholic thing all your life. You can do the Presbyterian thing. You can do the Presbyterian thing. You can name any denomination you want to. Without Jesus Christ, you'll bust hell wide open. If you're basing on a church or a denomination or a particular pastor or a priest or something, you've missed it. Jesus Christ is the only answer. The church you attend is because that's where you're being fed. That's your people. That's where you want to associate at. It's Christ and Christ alone. An awesome fact to know that you're a child of God. Verse 12 says, He has the Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. The Scripture is very clear and it's very distinct in its proclamation of the security of salvation for the born-again believer. John 14:16 tells this. 14:6 says, Jesus tells Thomas, says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, you can't get enough Baptist in you to get you to heaven. You can't get enough Catholic in you to get you to heaven. You can't get enough Assembly of God in you to get you to heaven. It won't do it. Only Jesus. Jesus is the life. Our assurance does not rest in our works, some church, some denomination, or pastor, or religious practice. Only through the redeeming work of Jesus can you and I be renewed spiritually and then born into the family of God. And Jesus holds us securely in His care. See, John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30 says, My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I want you to picture this. This is you. Look a little fluffy today, but this is you. When you say yes to Jesus, whether Pastor Daniel, myself, or Pastor Brian preaching a message, and you hear that message, and it's like, wow, I need to be saved. I need Jesus. Something triggers in you. You know what's happened? The Holy Spirit touched you. That's called regeneration. It happens all at like one time. You're regenerated, and you respond. He gives you the gift of saving faith. You respond through that faith in repentance, and you accept Christ as your Savior. You say yes. See, what we see is the outward expression. You walk down an aisle, you shake a hand, and we lead you in a prayer. And listen, that's all at one time. What you've done is you say yes to Jesus. You've placed your soul in Jesus' hand. Jesus says, I will lose none of them. Why? Because He knows you. You're His child. I will lose none of them. The Father who has given them me, see, the Holy Spirit, the Father has led you there. Holy Spirit changed you. The blood of Jesus washed your sins away. You're there. Jesus says, the Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. He says, I and the Father are one. What that tells me is that the only way that Jesus can say that nothing will ever snatch Kevin West out of his hand is He's already seen my life, He already knows what's coming down the road, and He's already died for every sin that I've committed in the past, to commit today or even commit in the future. He's already died for that. It doesn't give me permission to go commit them, but he already knows what's coming my way. And he says this, I won't lose him. So God, knowing my whole life, can say with certainty that he will never tell me, oops, Kevin, I didn't see that one coming, and drop me. No. Security in our faith, security in Christ, means that we trust Jesus with our soul. And I don't have to worry about it anymore. I can't wiggle my way out. You think you're bigger than God? You think you're stronger than God? That you can wiggle out their hand like this? No. I can't either. So our salvation is based on the character of God, who's unchanging, who says, now you're my child. He holds us, Jesus holds us by the hand, by his hand, and says, you're not going anywhere. Why do I have to worry about? If he's telling me I'm not going anywhere. But I want you to think about this. If you're just doing religion, if you're just doing a Baptist thing, or a Catholic thing, or Presbyterian, whatever, Assembly of God, Pentecost, if you're just doing the church, you've never put your soul in his hand. You're just doing religion, and you're still on the outside, and there's no security in that. The security comes in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. He holds you. I'll never let you go. It was said that my security as a Christian does not reside in the strength of my faith, but of the indestructibility of my Savior, Sinclair Ferguson. That my salvation is not based on my faith going up and down. And so often that's what we want to think. Listen, one day we feel real strong in our faith, and the next day we don't feel real strong in our faith. And we're starting to doubt our salvation. And we're doubting because of the way we feel. And what John is trying to get Christians to do is don't base it on the way you feel. Based it on the eternity of God, on the promises of God, this is always the gauge that you go by, not right here. Not your feelings, not your emotions. Because one day you'll feel up, and the next day you may not feel so up. Salvation is based on God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The third assurance is this, is that born-again believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The security of believers is assured by the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We see in verse 13, it says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you notice that the first security we have is in the eternal existence of God? And his character. The second assurance that we can understand is that Jesus holds us by his hand on the death and resurrection that Christ has given to us. And the third assurance is that God seals us with his Holy Spirit. As Christians, we have the assurance of our salvation by the eternal presence of God who holds us by who his character is. We find assurance of salvation in death, burial, and resurrection of Christ who holds us by his hand. And then we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 of John chapter 1 says, as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. When we are spiritually born into God's family, he fills us with his Spirit and seals us to the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 tells us, in him also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Praise God that he sealed us as his children. Listen, when we accept Christ, we're regenerated. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. We're born again. We're born. We're filled and sealed with his Spirit. That seal, God looks at us, that's my child, that's my child, that's my child, that's my child, that's my child. Why? He sees the seal of the Holy Spirit in our life. As Christians, born-again believers, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us here and leave us there. He's always there. He fills us and He seals us. And listen, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a continuous process. Not that we're baptizing the Spirit again and again. Nope. Being filled with the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has control and we take the back seat. And this needs to be an everyday thing that we're asking God to forgive us of our sin and fill us fresh and new where that sin lodged, to let the Holy Spirit have that place. Why do we need to ask every day? Because we're like a bucket with holes in it. We leak. Listen, you're in bumper-to-bumper traffic, somebody cuts you off, you're not feeling very Jesus-like, are you? You've been waiting on a parking space at Walmart for a little while, and that car finally gets out of the way, and you go to pull in, and somebody darts in front of you. You're not blessing them, are you? Family member starts giving you some trouble, your kids are giving you some lip, and they are disrespectful to you, you're not feeling real Jesus-like. You see, we leak. We leak. Not the Spirit leaves out of us, but sometimes we push Him over and we want control. And we have to back off, allow Him to fill back up in our life. We need to surrender through submission so He can be the guiding force in our life, the guiding light that we have, the Holy Spirit, that power that we have in Him. We are marked as God's children. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And in the power of the Spirit, based on the character of God, secure in the hand of Jesus, we persevere to the very end. That God's character, unchanging. God and Christ holding us in His hand, says, I will not lose you. And we are sealed with His Holy Spirit. His Spirit lives in us. The Bible says, to the day of redemption, till Christ comes back. Listen, we are marked as His child. And once you are birthed into the kingdom of God, you are born into the kingdom of God, you cannot be unborn. Why? Because you did not born yourself. The Holy Spirit regenerated you, changed you, gave you the gift of saving faith. And through that saving faith, you repented of your sin. You are birthed into the kingdom of God, and you cannot be unborn. That's Scripture. That's Bible. At the beginning of 1 John, John says that there were some false teachers that arose in the church, and some of them left out. Some of those church members left out and followed that false teaching. Now, some people want to point it out, they lost their salvation. No, read on. John says they never were a part of us. They never were saved to start off with. They went through all the motions. They went through all the church stuff. They listened to some good teaching. But they had never truly accepted Christ. And they were never filled with the Holy Spirit and sealed to their redemption. Because the Holy Spirit gives you strength, gives you discernment about false teachings and stuff. Helps you guide you in the right direction. Those who fell away, those who walked away, were never saved to start off with. So they were never birthed into the kingdom of God. They stood outside and never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They tried to do it on their own. They tried to be good people. They tried to go do all the church stuff that they seemed required of them, and they listened to the letters that was sent. But as soon as a false doctrine came in, they were led astray. Why? Because their faith was based on what they felt, on whatever sounded good, But their faith was not based on Jesus Christ and His unchanging love, His unchanging sacrifice for them. You see, we do persevere to the very end, Christians. Because of God, His eternal, unchanging nature. Because we, through faith that the Spirit of God has given us, embrace to the very end the hand of Jesus Christ. He holds us, not that we hold Him. And we're sealed to the very end because of the Holy Spirit. Listen, this morning I want to ask you a couple of questions. Can you say that you are secure in Jesus today? Have you ever given your life to Christ? Have you ever said yes to Jesus? Not the First Baptist Church of Ville Platte. Yes, I would love for you to join here, but I want you to have Jesus first. Can you say that Jesus is truly your Savior? So it's not just knowing some things about Jesus, it's knowing Jesus. Are you living with joy and the security of Christ and not trying to earn favor with God? I've read this from time to time. I'm just praying for God's favor on us. Listen, you're a child of God. You already have His favor. You already have His favor, Christian. Vernon McGee said this about security. And I believe in eternal security of the believer and in the insecurity of the make-believer. What about it? This morning you're here for an early church service. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Or have you just been playing the church thing? You've never asked Christ to be your Savior. You figure if you change some habits in your life and start doing more churchy stuff, then God would show you favor and man, life would just get better, and, you know, when you die, you have a better chance of getting to heaven. That's the logic of a lot of people, and that's so faulty, that's so flawed, that's so unbiblical. No, it's you and Jesus doing business, purely and simply. Salvation is in Christ alone. Jesus died for your sins. He died on a cross. He was buried in a tomb. He resurrected from the dead. He defeated death. He already paid the consequence of your sin. John chapter 3, verse 16, we love it, says, "For God so loved the world," we love that part, "that He sent His one and only Son." We love all that. But if you go to the next two verses, verse 18 says that those without Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, those without Jesus, when they die, they pay for the consequences of their sin. God never sends anybody to hell. Our sin sends us to hell. But Jesus has already paid for them. So the only way that our sins were paid for is that we accept what He's done for us and claim it as our own. It's that simple. There's no big hoops to jump through. It's really that simple. Have you accepted Jesus' payment for your sins? You're born into the kingdom of God, and you never can be unborn out of His kingdom. Let's pray together. Father God, this morning, how wonderful it is to know, God, that we're not in a race for Your love. God, we're not in a race to find Your favor. God, we don't have to beat ourselves up when things don't go right in our life. God, we don't have to go chasing after all sorts of things and trying to do more religious stuff. God, we just need to fall in submission before You to truly embrace what Jesus has already done for us. And God, You submerge us in Your grace and You forgive us completely. Lord, I pray today for everyone that hears this message, who's still trying to fight their way, trying to get to heaven. And You've already paved the way. And Father, I pray that they quit fighting in their own power and their own strength, and they simply embrace you and trust you, put their souls in your hands, and you carry them through all the way. Thank you, God, for your promises. Thank you, God, that you made salvation that simple. In your name we pray. Amen.